Hey, everybody, this is Adam Shartoff, your host of Film Wax Radio. I just want to give a heads up that if you are free this weekend and you live in the New York City area, I'm appearing in this wonderful film directed by Lynn Sachs. It's a nonfiction film, dare I say somewhat experimental even, and it's called Tip of My Tongue. And it's at MoMA, or the Museum of Modern Art's annual nonfiction film series called Doc Fortnite. And it has been chosen as the closing night film on this Saturday, just the day next tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Friday, Saturday the 25th of February. It's going to be playing at MoMA at 7:30 in the evening, and then again on Sunday at 5 o'clock in the evening. If you can, if you want to, Google search under Doc Fortnite and look for A Tip of My Tongue, which is the name of the film, and see if there are tickets left. And please come on down and join us and say hello. I'll be there both screenings. Friends and family are coming, and it would be great if you came down too and to meet me and everybody else and Lynn. And I know Ira Sachs will be there Saturday night, joining in, and you know, it would be just terrific to get everybody to come out and fill up the room. So that's it. And now, here's the show. Hey, everybody, this is Adam Shartoff, your host of From Wax Radio. Welcome to episode number 393. Almost 200 episodes ago, I interviewed Barbara Koppel, who is in the pantheon of documentary filmmakers. No, let's not even stipulate, or let's not even categorize here. In terms of filmmaking, Barbara Koppel is in that top tier of, I think, talented storytellers. And the woman has made so many wonderful films, starting with her first feature, which was called Harlan County, USA. And she was such a young woman when she made that film. And she got the Oscar. Anyway, go back to episode number 200, if you can, after you listen to this episode. Because as wonderful as this conversation coming up in just a few minutes is with Barbara, who is back, number 200 is a kind of more of a career spanning conversation where we talk about a lot of her films. But this woman is prolific, so there's been a bunch since 200, a couple of years back, and she's back. And I even mentioned this during the conversation that perhaps I should have just waited a few more weeks and made this episode number 400. But I want to take advantage of this new documentary that is currently available on YouTube Red. There are a lot of platforms out there and where you can watch movies, and YouTube Red is one of them. YouTube Red is a subscription-based digital platform, but you can actually, if you wish, get a free trial subscription for a month. And then I think it's $9.99 after that. If you do, either way, you can start by watching Barbara's new documentary. It's called This Is Everything, GG Gorgeous. And we'll be talking about it in great detail. But it is about a transitioning person who became this young lady. She started off as a young Olympics-bound diving champion, but was very unhappy and unfulfilled and started to do these homemade DIY YouTube videos and built an audience off of how to apply makeup. And then over time, as Gigi, who was then called Gregory, was starting to get older, she, you know, became more and more feminine, and then eventually decided to transition during this early part before she made that decision. Her mother dies. So it's a very dramatic story. All this took place up in the Toronto area, and Gigi ultimately had a lot of family support, and, you know, by her father and her brothers, but became this enormous sensation. So if you're a big YouTube follower, I'm sure you know very well who this is. Barbara made this film, and you can watch it on, again, YouTube Red. So Barbara Koppel coming up in just a couple of minutes. And then my friends Ashley Ray Spillers and Alex Dobrenko. This conversation took place at South by Southwest 2016 in the Austin Convention Center. I wanted these two guys on anyway, and they've worked together before, and this is a web series project called Distance. They actually played, I think, the first episode at South by Southwest, and that's why they were there. And anyway, Ashley and Alex are in this. It's about a couple played by, of course, Ashley and Alex. They are in a relationship, but they are on opposite sides of the country. And so I guess the twist is you can follow the story from either perspective. A lot of it takes place over Skype or Fate, whatever it is. And, but you can keep track of it. Anyway, you can watch it. And I think you get to watch it for either episode, which is from either one of their characters' perspectives. So that's the twist on this particular web series, besides having two really talented, and I'm not kidding about this, and dynamic actors in the lead roles. So we're going to have Alex and Ashley in also coming up later in the show. So if you guys are holding up under all the drama going on in the country, God bless you. And I just offer you some entertaining respite, and hopefully an entertaining respite from all of that, an hour to a week of fun conversations. That's what I'm trying to do. So the Oscars are coming up this Sunday. Do I have a horse in the game? Not really. I'm not. I've actually seen all of the feature nominees this year, which is not common. And we all assume, of course, La La Land will win. But I would say, given my tastes, that I would say probably that group of films. I would vote for Moonlight. I would say All Around, that had the most impact on me. But I did like Hidden Figures quite a bit, and I did like Arrival quite a bit. You know, a number of the films in that group, Manchester by the Sea, some fantastic performances. I mean, and I don't mean to leave, you know, it's a good group of films all around. Let's look at it that way. There's really no duds in that entire group. This was a very good year. So anyhow, we'll do maybe a bit of a postmortem after this weekend. But let's get into this episode, okay? This is my conversation, my second time having Barbara Koppel on the show. So without any further hesitation, we did this in the offices once again, as we did way back in episode 200, where this took place at the offices of Cabin Creek Pictures, which is her company. And this was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, which is, again, with filmmaker Barbara Koppel.
Come here again, Greg. I want to be in the movies.
As kids, Adam and Corey were a little milder. Greg. He had so much energy and zest for life. There you go. I was like, oh, okay, wow, this one's different. My wife said, okay, it's time to tell you something. Gregory's doing makeup tutorials online.
My camera became my therapist, and YouTube became my diary where I would post everything.
If your parents don't get you, if your friends think you're weird, I love you, and I want you to be exactly who you want you to be.
Coming out as gay made my presence online soar.
Take me away in cups. I'm so sorry I used the wrong gender bathroom.
You would think that I was very confident with who I was, but I wasn't happy. When my mom found out that she had cancer, she just kept saying, I feel like I might die, but I don't want to. And I decided right then and there, life is too short.
I have been on hormones now for a year.
I seriously have never, ever in my life felt closer to my dad.
My name has officially been changed.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are
Ms. Koppel. Good, how are you? I ran into you
Am I Ms. Koppel these days or Barbara?
Barbara, Jane. Absolutely. And I saw you for a second, like at Doc NYC, where you were, you know, screening Sharon Jones, and you were...
Could it be in the hall?
Might be. She's such a great sound person. So she's listening through headphones, too. I know. I'm going to give you the play-by-play. Barbara's going out of her way to silence the area. Yeah. willfully lost. I mean, or just sort of given into being lost. I don't know. There it was, this sort of defeat mind frame for a little while. And then, you know, I admire those who were really early on just saying, no, we're going to step up. And now we really have those of us who passively maybe appreciated the last 8 years now can't be complacent. We have to be activists and we have to say no to every step of the way.
Resist
every step of the
everything.
Way.
Everything.
Because
talk to everybody, no matter where you are, about what's happening and what you're learning and everything.
And my own neutral, prone type of personality with not wanting to offend listeners that might be more conservative. You know, this isn't even an issue of conservative versus liberal. This is like a freedom
survival.
Versus survival and freedom and all the plain just civil. The basic civil rights and civility. And so, you know, if you have a problem, then don't listen. But well, the other disappointment was I was so sure. I was my kid, who's turning 13 shortly, you know, Jacob, he was had all, as far back as he can remember, a president that he could be proud of and that kind of looked like him too, you know. And then I figured, okay, the next 4 to 8 years, he's gonna grow up without, like, I grew up with Nixon, you know, is my first president I remember, and then Reagan and all these horrible, horrible politicians.
I had Carter.
I had Carter too, but you know, I mean, yeah, that was nice. Anyhow, I'm adrift, but
being adrift is okay because it brings you back.
It does. It does. Because, you know, I think I've been thinking.
What does he say, the 13-year-old?
You know,
does he realize there's a difference?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, he's just on the cusp of understanding the political weight and meaning of what's going on. And he's slow to emerge in terms of his personality into a politically minded individual, meaning realizing the world around him and how he's affected by it.
He can make a difference.
That would be great to know that he feels that. I don't know that he's gone there, that he too can make a difference. But
Why don't you bring him to Harlan County, see what he thinks?
That's a good idea. That's a nice idea.
And he has music after.
Yeah. Well, because when you were talking about it, we weren't like really mic'd. So let's talk about it real briefly again. Metrograph, I think I read 4 screenings, but I'm going to confirm that.
Oh, there are 4 screenings. I thought you meant I had 4 screens all at one time.
Oh,
no, it's 4 screenings.
Only that would exist in Coppoland, which, you know,
it's
like Dollywood or something. Yeah.
And Koppel has lots of dreams.
Oh, that's right. they're going to have 4 screenings
at the Metrograph.
At the Metrograph,
6 Ludlow Street.
Are they showing
Harlan County, USA,
right? Which is your landmark,
my first
feature. Which,
remember,
you talked
film.
About that on the last time you're on, which was my 200th episode. You know, I saved you for the big show. Now we're approaching 400. I can't wait for that, though.
You do a lot of work.
Yeah, well, look who's talking. I wrote down just a few recent projects of yours. I would hold on to it for the 400th. It would make sense to do that, but I can't because that's like a month away or 2 months away. I'm not going to hold on to it. I want to help promote your new film, which is called This Is Everything, Gigi Gorgeous. So four screenings. Are they projecting any of them?
Yeah, I think it's 35mm.
So they're not going to show it at the same time. Obviously, they have to.
Right.
They're going to show the 35mm print.
Yes.
And I did a whole thing last night on film restoration and preservation. I moderated this panel that I put together.
Oh, how cool. Where was that?
It was at BRIC, which is this arts and media center in downtown Brooklyn. And I had somebody from MoMA, somebody from Janus Films, Ben Crossley Mara. I had Katie Trainer from MoMA, and I had someone from Cineric, an actual technician.
Is BRIC torn? Who runs it?
It's run, but it's a nonprofit which is run out of which is its own thing. It's it's right around the corner. You know, it's right next door to BRIC, BAMS, that theater they have on Fulton. You know, this beautiful opera house which they redid about 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. So it's right on, we're Flatbush and Fulton, right by there. And it's this great place, but, you know, I hesitate to say that not enough people know about it, but that is the case. And so I did this, they have this series called Brick Flicks, and they just have a different event every month on film. And they asked me to do one, and I thought film restoration preservation is something I like to talk about. So I put this thing together, and we had a nice turnout.
Oh, that's pretty cool. They used to have somewhere there, maybe it was Williamsburg, I don't know, like a living room kind of situation.
Oh, and like a,
just,
yeah.
And you just sat on these really comfortable seats and talked with people, and then whoever was going to do a panel or show a film came in. It was really nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
I don't know if it's still there.
It takes away that kind of austere division between
you and them.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And the new project.
This is everything.
This is everything.
Gigi Gorgeous.
Gigi Gorgeous is kind of keeps in a way, it's sort of still, I think, right in line with a lot of your past work, even though it's also another dimension to it, takes on like all new technology and very new subject matter, between the fact that this is now about this huge celebrity who just happens to be someone who transitioned, and also that it's, you're having this...
Well, a huge celebrity on YouTube,
yeah,
which is its own world.
It's true, but still is a huge celebrity.
Huge celebrity.
She's got like 7 million
followers,
which is just a little more than FilmWax has.
Well, we have to get FilmWax up there.
Please.
10 million.
So you'll have to co-host every episode. Or Gigi, one of...
I think Gigi.
And the other thing that is worth mentioning, even though we did have a limited theatrical, which only you could pull off, but it's premiering digitally on YouTube Red, which is their
YouTube Red, February 8th.
Right. So it's currently there. So as soon as you finish listening to this, go over to YouTube Red and watch This Is Everything.
But it's also showing at film festivals. And for me, I, you know, love the live events.
I know
I
you
just
do.
Think it's so much fun, and you really see what people are thinking and feeling, and I love them.
And you engage with everybody.
You talk to them.
You must love doing that, because
when it was showing here, I would go and I would ask them why they came, and after it, what they got from it, and you learn so much. It's so wonderful.
And it was Gigi, does she go by that name?
She goes by Gigi Gorgeous.
But even in like personal...
In her personal life.
In her personal life.
Well, Gigi Lazzarato.
Lazzarato, which is her name. Born, right. Yeah. She's born, was it Greg?
Greg.
Lazzarato?
Greg Allen Lazzarato.
Right.
But her name was changed to
Canada.
Gigi.
In Ontario? Yes. Where is she?
Toronto.
In Toronto. A little background, I guess. If you want to interrupt, please correct me or, you know, expand.
Interrupt you.
Expand. I love being interrupted by Barbara, or expand on things. But was a Olympics bound driver. Yeah. I mean, incredible. I mean, the very beginning you see is incredible, right?
Greg Lazzarato, who just really learned discipline, and he won the nationals and in Canada, and he was headed for the Olympics, but something wasn't right, and he was really depressed. So he went on YouTube and started doing makeup instructionals under the name of Greg Gorgeous. And he did very well. He came out. His mom died during that period. And that's when he decided that life was too short and he wanted to be a girl. And he transitioned, and he became Gigi Gorgeous. And he got tremendous support from his family, his brothers, the father, who was very conservative and really didn't understand it. But if that's what she wanted, that's what he was going to do. And it was very moving. And the film about love.
It's true.
And what happens when we support each other, even if we're not quite clear what's going on.
Yeah.
How important that is.
And unconditional love is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
And also
in a time, too, when there isn't much love. There's a lot of hate and a lot of hate groups and a lot of discontent and people are very scared. So when something comes out that's full of love, I think it just helps tremendously.
The surprise in terms of transitioning was the father, because he transitioned too.
Yeah, it's about both. It's the father and Gigi transitioning together.
Exactly. It's a powerful thing, and to see that love conquering pettier issues, you know.
And she's so beautiful. I mean, she's
a stunner, really.
Gorgeous inside and out. When she comes into a room, it's like sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every time I see her, she just puts her arms around me and hugs me and makes me feel so good.
How did you meet?
Well, her managers thought that this would be great to have a documentary about her. And so they got a long list of directors, and somehow my name was picked, and they called me up and said, we have a film we'd love you to do. It's about Gigi Gorgeous, and you want to come meet her? And I said, okay, absolutely. We met each other, and we loved each other from the start.
Are you always, have you like learned to, or were you always somebody who just was open to any possible story? Like if somebody comes along, I know I have to constantly remind myself to not, you know, put up a certain prejudice about anything, you know, like a film, the way it's being marketed maybe just pushes me, you know, slight, but I have realized, but if you don't like give yourself the opportunity to give it a chance and to really absorb it, you're not, you know, you might miss out on something that's a really positive experience.
Yes. I mean, I don't want to miss out on anything.
You don't.
No, I love life. I love meeting people. I love being able to tell their stories.
But you only have so much time to tell, you know, any stories. And, it's, you know, there's a finite number of stories anyone could tell.
Well,
so
it's
you
not
have
as if
also...
people are lined up, you know, do this story.
They're lined up.
Story. But, you know, they're just, I love doing stories about people. And even if they're different from each other, it's still going to be a wonderful story. It's going to be who they are. It's going to be what they are. And that's how I look at it.
Gigi, even though it's true we're going through a rather complicated period right now, to say the least, but at the same time, in terms of her age and the time,
she's 24 now.
She's 24. She's kind of lucky. You know, a generation ago, this would have been a far more... we certainly have stories of people that transitioned.
No, but she was 14 when she started.
Yeah.
But she didn't transition until she was about 19.
And if that goes on to a slightly more broader conversation, which is she first identified as gay, and she would have said he came out as gay. Then the identity issue actually became more, she understood her identity more and what she was really feeling or was able to articulate anyway, was that she was always felt she was a girl. So it's the transition is really identity more than it is anything physical.
There's more.
Go talk. What is
now,
it?
Now she's a lesbian.
Okay.
She has a girlfriend.
She does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nats
so,
Getty is her name, and they're inseparable, joined at the hip.
So she wasn't necessarily a gay boy.
And in fact, you know, sometimes on the red carpet, she'll pull Nats up on the red carpet with her, and they'll just start kissing each other. So the photographers will be filming them kissing.
She's a natural. She understands how to use
the media.
Media is for sure. But is that then if you rethink, so maybe she was never a gay male. Maybe she was always a female attracted to women, and that's interesting.
No, she had a boyfriend.
She did.
Yes.
And
she was really excited.
Okay. He
was a burly guy. He had been in the military, and he loved
her. Oh, that's
right.
I do remember.
He loved her for who she was.
Right.
So she had her first boyfriend.
Yeah.
And now her first girlfriend.
Okay. So
she's coming on up the ropes. She's learning it all. But it's much more than that. I mean, she's a person really who helped out thousands and thousands of people on her YouTube page. And when they felt that they were lonely and nobody liked them and bullied them,
right.
She was the one that would connect them. She would tell her stories, or she would allow them to tell their stories. And they talked on YouTube about so many different issues, and she made them feel as if they weren't alone, and she probably saved many, many lives doing that.
Yeah.
The big thing. She's
yeah.
inspired by people. She loves people. She would do meet and greets and really talk to people and tell them how beautiful they were and how wonderful they were.
She understands the impact of what she's doing and how important it is, and she doesn't take it for granted. That's what it sounds like.
Well,
she appreciates it.
She's really sincere.
Yeah.
And she really cares. Plus, she's 24 and full of youth and
yeah.
love and lust and likes to party and go to bars and,
of
you
course.
Know,
yeah.
just a regular person.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a number of...
Who has a heart of gold.
Yeah. There's a number of public appearances we see in the film, too, where you actually can see that, you know, these teenagers or young people who, you know, once they connect with her, really are become very emotional.
Oh, they're
yeah.
crying
yeah.
and happy and
yeah.
just can't believe that they're with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes even in the street, people yell, Gigi, Gigi. It's wonderful.
Yeah. In Toronto, for instance.
Or Toronto.
Wherever.
New York, even.
Yeah. I mean, if you have 7 million listeners, they're going to be
yeah.
all over. It's very true.
L.A.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be that a young person who maybe felt like they were an outsider, whether it be they were gay or maybe something more complicated, that they didn't have the words for it. And now at least we have the words for it. Kids,
and she's totally proud of who she is and what she is.
Years ago, the only option would be to try to save your money and get on that bus and go to the biggest city like New York or wherever, because you were not going to survive anywhere else. But
right.
through social media.
Or be a designer under the covers of your bed in Kansas, right?
Yeah.
And pretend you were going to basketball.
Right.
Practice.
A lot of pretending. And now, at least, now I guess social media, the internet has given a lot of young people at least some semblance of a feeling of
belonging,
which.
Plus,
you know,
lots of money.
And there's maybe some financial
money.
Opportunities. And speaking of which, now
lots of money.
you came across, okay, so you were approached by the Team Gigi, it sounds like, right?
Yes.
When they were looking
Team
to
Gigi.
Tell the story. Okay.
Exactly.
And are there some sort of YouTube Red component already there?
Yeah,
okay,
YouTube Red paid for it.
Okay, so they're the ones that said, here we have, obviously, if we can tell her story, we have a big hit.
Well, I didn't get to really meet them or see them. I met one of them, the head of, I guess, YouTube Red, just to say hi and meet her, Suzanne Daniels.
But she's with YouTube Red?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, no, I just went along my merry way. And then when I wanted to, they wanted to see a rough cut, I flew to L.A. and showed it to them. And they said, very good. And then I flew back.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was exciting because, you know, if they liked it at that stage, you know, the
yeah.
first cut they saw was 2 hours and 5 minutes. So.
And it's dwindled down about 15 minutes or more.
Now it's on 91 minutes.
Oh, it's 91 minutes. And what I was going to say.
You're talking about the beginning and
yeah,
YouTube
yeah. Well,
Red. And
yeah, no, I know. I'm just trying to... Anyway, I have in my mind this. I get distracted by myself because I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if
and we're
you,
talking
if
about
you,
money.
Yes, and that could come around because I'm also interested in these kind of choices, rather in terms of, you know, exhibiting, distributing, financing, all those things of the film.
Right.
But
and I also think too that this film now has helped Gigi even more. I mean, she may have a book deal, she may have a TV show, she may be. Doing something for Revlon as an ambassador.
Right.
I mean,
but she already,
the
already
world
has had
is
some
opening.
Yeah,
even
and
more
she's,
than
she's,
it was.
And she's obviously very shrewd.
Well, I don't know that she's shrewd, but she's a good businesswoman, and her managers
that's what
are
I mean.
Good.
Okay, well, she and that's important. Surrounding yourself. I
mean, she's a control freak. She says so, handing over everything to me and not bothering me and not. Seeing the film until it was at Sundance was a very, very big thing for her.
I bet.
She had no idea what was in it.
Yeah. Well, that's reality too, because you're not going to. Oh, there's always somebody. There's always a boss. Or somebody who you have to report to, even though that wasn't quite your relationship. She was able to control her online presence
and still does.
Okay. So once again, I'm going to lose my train of thought because for one thing is I wonder if the subscriptions for YouTube, Brett, I'm not even sure it's YouTube, if it's a subscription base.
It's subscription.
Okay.
It's
so I wonder
$9.99 a month.
Okay. They're all like that. The price point seems to work, I guess. Even Filmstruck and.
Right. The first week they told me there were 250,000 people.
That's
who
what
viewed
I was,
it.
That's incredible, right? So they're very happy.
Yes, very happy.
You may get more calls about doing more YouTube.
Very happy.
In my mind, I have this fantasy where most people have fantasies about, you know, either far more, you know, exciting, but that you took Gigi to see a Sharon Jones concert while Sharon was still performing. That you just took her to see, like, you know, a concert, and that somehow these two women met. But not. You got very serious. I saw you, literally. I think the day she died, because it was during Doc NYC, and I went to the theater. I was at the theater that night, and I thought for some reason I read something ridiculous, like that I didn't know how sick she was, you know. So I was out of the loop. But so I thought she was going to be there. Even I didn't know things were
no,
so dire.
No, she was in. I went to see her. I mean, I went to show the film in Cooperstown, and she was really excited because she had, you know, stayed very nearby there, and she had.
You mean her home was upstate?
No. Well, she was staying there, getting her chemotherapy.
Oh, I see.
And everything.
Okay.
And the night I was driving up with her manager, Alex, she was rushed to the emergency room, and I guess. Mm-hmm. We went right to the emergency room, and I was there for about, I don't know, I guess a week. Mm-hmm. And the place was totally filled for the screening, and it was really hard for all of us not to, you know, burst into tears or to say Sharon's right in the hospital, because people didn't know that she was. And then when I would go and visit her, she was humming with a really clear voice, gospel tune. She couldn't speak, but she was humming.
Huh.
And different Dap Kings would come and play the guitar, and she would just keep humming and
was
humming.
Was her eyes closed, for instance, during that? Was she at, like, kind of out
open
of the...
And open and closed.
Okay.
Open and closed.
In, like, and out of...
Yeah, and you'd come and you'd say, hi, it's Barbara, and she'd smile, and her eyes would open, and she'd put her hand out, and you'd hold her hand, and...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I miss her every day, every day.
Well,
and the Grammys said two wonderful things. They said Sharon Jones will never be forgotten. And some of the Dap Kings were playing the horns on the Grammys.
In the band, you mean? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the stage at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. And then in memory, they had her singing 100 Days, 100 Nights.
Oh, so. That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't remember, because I might have tuned in. Well, not that I have cable, actually, but I should. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. But her story got told. You know,
her story got told, but I want her back. I want her here. She's so wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, there is the.
And another friend of mine died a month before that, who did the music for Harlan County. Dave Morris.
Whose son, you said, is playing at Metrograph.
And he had brain cancer. And I went to visit him right after Harlan County showed at, you know, the New York Film Festival. And I think he died a week later.
Mm. It's the longer we live, right?
Well, we don't want them. These are the good ones. These are the great ones. We want them with us.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like losing a limb.
It is.
I mean, it's hard enough, I assume, when, you know, the types of personal films, I wouldn't call them all personal documentaries, because those you think are usually where filmmakers make a film about themselves, but they are personal in the sense you get inside.
I think intimate.
Intimate is a better word. And then you have to, the project ends, you know, and some projects can go on for a long time because, you know, the lifespan of, you know, festivals and.
Yeah, Sharon Jones went on for a long time.
It did. Yeah. I remember seeing that.
And also Dave Morris. I did a film called Shelter for Al Jazeera America about veterans, homeless veterans. And he came and he sang for the veterans.
Oh, wow.
And he had been homeless himself for 4 years.
When was that?
Like, when was that film done?
No, no. When was he? It was just this period of time a while back.
Yeah, quite a while back before he met and fell in love with his wife.
So. That's good.
And she straightened him right out.
I bet.
Yes, she's adorable, Christine.
Uh-huh. Okay. Are they from these parts?
Ohio, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so.
Well, he was from Ivydale, West Virginia, but that's where they ended up living. And he had his own band then.
Was his brother
the Morris Brothers?
Oh, okay, the Morris Brothers. And was the mining company was that in Virginia or West Virginia?
Kentucky.
That's what I thought. Kentucky. That's what I said. Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky.
Harlan County.
Not far from Virginia.
Eastern Kentucky is right over.
They share a border, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
And Tennessee.
I was married in Nashville.
You were?
Yeah. Sadly divorced in New York, but
sorry,
it happens. I'm happily living with someone now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's pretty, pretty lovely. And
we wouldn't want you to be lonely.
I'm not. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that because I am prone, and I don't like it. I just want to also respect our time. Okay, so. I feel like we've given good, you know, a fair amount of due to Gigi Gorgeous. I do want to. This is Everything. Gigi Gorgeous is the full title, and it is currently. You can currently stream it.
Yes,
at your convenience.
Yes, you can, and you can currently wait for some great film festivals which are coming up.
Yeah, because you know, any festival worth their salt is going to want Barbara Kopple to come because she's a, you know. She'll fill up the room for pizza.
Well, I think Gigi Gorgeous.
She might do that too. If she comes, does she do a lot of those?
She likes it.
I'm sure.
She loves it.
She obviously likes
connecting too. She loves the live events. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, how much do you want to sit in front of a computer camera
and not really know what's going on? No, she loved it.
Yeah, it's important, right?
How do you gauge? At Sundance with 600 people.
Yeah.
You know, never seeing her film before, and loved every second of it. She was so happy.
And I'm going to guess that you really probably loved even more the appearances at the festivals where there's especially more the film festivals that are especially more part of the local communities and where it's not just the choir coming,
I love it all.
But so you can watch that at keep an eye on your local festivals.
Wonderful mix of of film festival people, the community, and also Gigi followers.
Oh, right.
So which is it was a whole mix.
Right. No matter what town she goes to, they're going to come out and for sure, right, for that opportunity to meet Barbara Kopple. I'm sorry, Gigi Gorgeous.
And, that's right. Gigi Gorgeous.
I'm the kind of who feels like if I can go to an event and run into you, that's for me exciting. So, you know. And
thank you.
Of course. And it's great to see that Harlan still is having still endless lifespan too. And just to give people, you know, remind people that probably after it will be done, but should be spoken about that four screenings shot on film, of course, back in the 70s, and it's being projected at the Metrograph in the East Lower East Side on film, which is a great theater on Ludlow Street. It's a great theater, beautiful screen, great projection, run by passionate film lovers. You know, so it's fantastic.
And tomorrow night, it's the first night.
Yeah,
7 you're going to
be there. And you said that
Jack Morris,
who's Dave Morris's son
is going to be singing, coming all the way from Ohio.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I know. And so I got to get my kid there. He's going to L.A. to be with his mother.
Okay. On
Sunday morning, but that gives us enough time.
Well, Friday night.
Yeah,
you can sleep late Saturday.
That's right. Okay. And I did want to mention also Hot Type, which is a recent documentary, which I really enjoyed, which is a great timely piece, not only because of The Nation is people need to subscribe to right now to The Nation if they haven't before, more than ever, because there's not a whole lot of sources of real real journalism right anymore. There's
the, and also the nation isn't afraid of anyone. Yeah. And they say when things are bad for the country, things are good for the nation.
Yeah.
Because they get right underneath what's happening.
Oh, I like that. And, that's clever.
Yeah.
And I learned
Katrina Vandenhoeuvel is just so brilliant.
She's so smart.
She's the editor.
And she's fantastic of the nation because she started as an intern essentially or as an administrative assistant or something, right?
Exactly.
Her entire career has been at the nation and now she's like a powerhouse of a executive public
and brilliant and beautiful.
All the above.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Hopefully we don't have to wait another 200 episodes. I could just do every episode with you and be just fine with that.
All right, let's go for it.
All right, done. All right. I have to follow you around to a lot of festivals. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Ashley Ray Spillers is, if you're a subscriber to HBO or you watched Marc Maron's series on AMC networks, you might know Ashley. Besides being a character actress who's appeared in many independent films over the years and some mainstream Hollywood films as well. But she was recently on these two shows, The Marc Maron Show, as well as Vice Principals, which was on HBO. Danny McBride's series, where she played the principal's secretary, and it was great. She's great in that. But I've known Ashley for a bunch of years. She was also she's been in a bunch of films. Let's see, Pit Stop. She had a small role. Some of these she had very small roles, but I'm going to bring up ones that I've had that I've done segments on. Pit Stop, which was Yen Tan's film. She had a small uncredited role, and that Loves Her Gun. We did an episode on that. Jeff Marslet was in that film, or directed that film, I should say. She was in Last Vegas. There's an example of a mainstream Hollywood film, which I believe Robert De Niro and Michael Douglas and Morgan Freeman all starred in. And she was in the Maron series, as I mentioned, Vice Principals, I mentioned, and also... She was in this small film I want to mention called Arlo and Julie, which if you can find, made a couple of years ago, please do see it, because she first of all co-stars with Alex DeBranco in that as well. I mean, maybe that's how the two kind of started to know each other. But it's a very charming genre indie film, and it also had our friend Chris Dubeck in that film. And speaking of Chris was in, of course, Krisha last year, one of my favorite films in years, and Alex DeBranco was also in Krisha. So Alex has been an indie actor staple as well as Ashley. So Alex is the driving force behind Distance, which is this web series that we're talking about. And I should mention that the team is currently doing a fundraiser on Seed and Spark, and hence my timing with this segment. Let me see where they're at here. I'm just kind of going online here. Okay, they're about halfway through their goal, and almost halfway through, they're right on point here. Their goal is to raise $20,000, and they are just around just under $10,000, and they are just about at the halfway mark. So, okay, and you can find them. You can find the Seed and Spark fundraiser page on Seed and Spark by just Googling that, Seed and Spark. Distance. Okay, this is coming up right now. So listen to the conversation. Go to the website. Check it out. It's a great project. It's a fun, worthwhile project. These are my buddies. Please support them, and you know they deserve it. So right now, here is my conversation with actors Alex DeBranco and Ashley Ray Spillers, coming from South by Southwest 2016 in Austin, Texas.
The story is right and good and true, or there's a hue
delusion building up in you.
I should ask him. Start FaceTime just bent over.
Oh.
Like, draw a little face on your butt.
No, we have catching up to do.
Even better. What do you do when you want to have sex? Oh, you just masturbate all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
It's insane how much I love it.
Cyber.
Let's make love through the internet.
Well, maybe.
How's that?
That's good. What if I
Oh, hey, oh. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, hi. Oh, hello. Who's that? Stop! Oh, you man. Have to stop laughing. I'm really trying to be serious.
Hold it a little higher, just on the handle.
I'm like not, this.
Not higher in the air, but yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, but you can be a little... Yeah, yeah. Perfect. That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, how's everyone doing? Yeah.
Alex Dubrenko. Yeah. Dubrenko.
That's a good model.
Извините, пожалуйста.
Да, ты говоришь... Он говорит по-русски.
Yeah, да, да.
Чуть-чуть.
Меня зовут Адам Жаков.
Should we do this whole podcast in Russian?
Wait a minute, I was speaking Russian?
Yes.
Oh, that was a mistake. I meant to be. I thought I was speaking French. I'm here with Alex.
Alex.
Alex Dubrenko.
But my real name
He's
is Sasha.
Crazy. This I love him. What?
Sasha is my
Sasha.
Actual name.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah.
Because Sasha, Alex, Alex.
Alex.
I have to say Alex. And also Ashley Ray Spielers.
Yes. Hi.
Miss Spielers. I thank you very, very much. No, very. Very much for doing our Filmwalks radio. All right, I don't speak Russian. I know
you
a few.
Don't
no.
You sounded like you were.
По-русски. No, нет, правда, не правда, no правда. I know enough. I sound like it, and because I can mimic, I have a very I have a gift.
Do you
of
do
mimicry.
Voiceover?
No.
You
no.
Should.
Really?
Yes, if you can mimic things so easily. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm like the Sid Caesar of podcasts. Do you know what I'm talking about? You guys are very young, so maybe. He would do all these on his show back in the 50s. He would do all these different voices and characters. But, you know, over time, people got more sophisticated. You know, like, there was all of a sudden, there were tons and tons of comedians doing impressions. And so he sort of, not that generation that knew him and considered him a genius, forgot about it. But, you know, it got less of, like, but it was considered such, people go hysterical because he would do, like, a German and then a French person and then a Japanese person. And he really did them really well. And he would make up gibberish, but it sounded incredible. So if you ever YouTube it, you'll, anyway. Ashley Ray Spillers.
Yes, hi.
Alex or Sasha Dubrenko's here.
Hi.
And nobody heard that.
Hi.
Hi. Lovely to finally have you both on.
Thank you.
It's been something in the works for at least a year as far as you go. And actually, you know, I've been courting you for several years.
Yes.
Having seen work going back now since I started coming to
South by Southwest.
Where we are right now.
Yeah.
So thank you. And the name of the, just to get it out of the way, because yes. We're going to spend a certain amount of time talking about this
yes.
New project. It's a web series called Distance.
That's correct. And it's called Distance.
It's called Distance, about a long distance. Oh, no. A long distance.
Wait a minute.
See, if you called it long distance, I would have gone in.
Wow.
You guys are living across. That's probably why you're Skyping.
That's right.
But the other part of this is this kind of, and I don't mean to in any way diminish or demean this by calling it a gimmick, but it's a gimmick.
Yes.
Which is that you are telling Two dual stories would be redundant, right?
Or that'd be four stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Which by the, who knows, you
yeah,
know?
Maybe.
Technology, you can conference in everybody.
Exactly.
But anyway, so the idea is that you guys are living on opposite ends of the country.
Yes.
Ashley's character, which is, her name is Ashley?
Emily.
Emily. Is in L.A., I believe?
That's right.
And and Sasha? No, what's your name?
Character? Sam.
Sam.
And he's in New York.
Sam is in New York.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn, I'm going to guess.
Brooklyn. Deep Brooklyn.
Deep Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, just right there we can say, isn't it clever, the listeners? that they're getting both demographics just like that.
Yep.
In
yep.
one fell swoop. So you can market it to either.
Sucking them in. Coast what to neighborhood? Coast.
That's right. And all the people in between are kind of being that, like through sheer magnetic, you know, force.
What's long distance relationship?
Yeah. So
that wasn't good.
So Ashley, does what neighborhood in L.A. are you supposed to be in? Do you have a neighborhood?
Silver Lake.
Silver Lake,
which is where I am truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They podcast out of Silver Lake, I hear.
Oh.
You could walk probably to Mark Maron's house.
You know, he's in Highland Park, which is not far away.
Oh, I thought that was he was in Silver Lake. Highland
I just
Park.
Worked with him, actually.
You did?
I did on his new show. Well, it's not a new show. It's been on
four seasons.
IFC for, season four. Mm-hmm. Couple episodes.
Oh, are you in an arc?
A small, yeah. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Was it a romantic kind of thing?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
I can now announce, like, because I have a listener, my ex-wife, who, you know, we're very close still, she's just on the new Louis C.K. show, which is called Horace and Pete.
You've been watching.
I love that show so much.
Check out episode 7, which dropped this weekend. And
I got his email.
She's the new.
Louis' email.
Oh, okay. He gets the link in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like for $2, you can watch it. My ex-wife is now the new romantic interest.
That's amazing.
It's pretty
incredible. Show's incredible.
I've seen her go to NYU theater school. You know, our marriage ended as a result.
Hmm.
No, I'm kidding. But I'm happy. It's okay. You know, she was just getting started. And just in the sheer, it's incredible how, like, ambitious and dedicated and artful. And now she's doing it. So, but congratulations, because I think that's huge for you. I could see, and I saw you in something else also. Not only did Ashley, I'm talking to Ashley, not only that, but the noir, the L.A. noir thing that you did with where you were murdered in it.
Two-Step?
Two-Step,
which
Texas I loved.
The Texas thriller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I loved. You know, I thought it was really good. And mostly because the cast was really great in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's really
well. He nailed it.
He did. And he's a good director. He mm-hmm. was on the show.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, Alex.
Alex Johnson.
Alex Johnson.
He's the man.
He was in an Airbnb in Brooklyn, and I went over there. This is probably last summer, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find it on various platforms now. It's called Two-Step. So you guys are... I do want to hear about the other projects too, but I guess I have to force myself to stay on point for distance at the moment.
It'll be good.
It's a web series. Have you put one up yet?
No.
Okay.
Right. No.
It's premiering here.
Yes, it's going to premiere here tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time?
2:00 at the Convention Center. It's going to be awesome.
Where?
Somewhere in here. I don't know Ballroom C, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big room.
Space.
Yeah, it is.
What time? 2:00?
2:00. You should come.
I will come. So so explain what I kind of referred to before is like you can choose simultaneous, I guess you call it, or a storyline. So you can follow your story. How does that work?
So basically the idea behind it, I was in a long-distance relationship for 3 years.
Glutton.
Huh?
Glutton.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep. But it worked out. Now we live in the same city.
Oh, great.
In the same house. In the same room.
But you still Skype for some reason.
Yeah. We still only communicate with technology. I wanted to create something based on that. And then when I was thinking about how do you show a long-distance relationship, I thought, well, most of their time is spent, you know, not with the other person.
Yep.
And that their individual lives... and what's happening in them, their work stuff, their, like, friend stuff, everything else is what affects how well the relationship is going. And then I thought, well, what's the best way to show that? And it was, you know, by creating completely different episodes of their individual lives. He's taking a photo of us we're doing
it. In. Nobody knows this stuff that I actually do it during the... can you reprise your long distance?
And so basically,
I'm all ears.
That became this sort of choose-your-own-adventure idea of each episode, or we call them chapters, mm-hmm. is his and hers. So you decide as the audience which side you want to watch first, and then once you watch both sides, you kind of get everything that happened in between.
To watch both sides.
You don't have to. I think some people will
Can you follow then to the next chapter without watching?
Yeah, some people
chapter?
Might only want to watch her side
so
or
two
his
simultaneous
side.
Simultaneous chapters, so right, that's right.
Two simultaneous episodes within a chapter.
That's a good way to. I haven't known what to call it. You said chapter. That's really great
that's a good
because
way
I keep saying, episodes, but there's two episodes within each episode, and it's very confusing. Chapter. Yeah.
I know it's a little bit, maybe feels a bit intimate.
Uh-huh.
To force, like, kind of up to her mouth. Because, but it's because the nature of that way it's shaped and all. And it's bright red tip. But
it's got just, a clown nose thing
it has
going
on. It's a clown nose, exactly. Yeah. Think of, what was that Robin Williams film? Where is
Mr. Patch Adams. That was an incredible movie.
Yeah.
I cried a lot during that.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, you know. And now I can't even watch it because I would cry just from the beginning.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you have voice work, I'll do it. I can pretend to do Russian.
So that's the idea.
It's a clever conceit.
It's fun.
I think variations of this type of thing, of course, have been done. So it's interactive, essentially, is what.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, if you hate men, and you could be a guy. But if you hate men, you can watch Emily's side of the story.
That's right. That's right.
So you came up with this idea, or did you come up with this together?
I came up with it, and then we have a really big family of people around the project that have been super helpful. Ashley and I have been talking about it since the beginning. My girlfriend Lauren.
Well, how does she feel about this?
She's great.
Okay.
She was there while we shot our first chapter. while I was sitting in my underwear, you know, she was like coming to touch me up. It's a real interesting dynamic.
I bet.
It is.
Wait, so when you were shooting it, though, obviously shot it together in the same town. You were both in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah.
So you were recreating Brooklyn.
We cheated.
But maybe you did some. Did you do any B-roll in Brooklyn?
Not for that.
When the budget gets.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do
when
that.
We raise money.
Okay. I'll help you. I'll be.
Please help.
Not raise money. I need to raise my own money.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'll help
right.
you once you come to Brooklyn.
Deal.
With production. Deal. I can do catering.
Amazing.
Whatever you need.
Amazing.
Because I believe in this project.
Thank you.
I love you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the other thing that's cool is the guy's side, my side, is directed by a dude, and then her side
what?
Is directed by a female.
I prefer you switch that up.
We're going.
We will at some point.
Yeah.
We will. We like
right.
that idea
but,
a lot.
But it makes sense. On a certain level, I do understand it. It makes sense. So who are some of the, have you used anybody that I might have heard of yet directing? How many have you shot, by the way?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Just one episode.
So you haven't.
One chapter.
One chapter. Because it's a web series.
Yes.
Hopefully you're going to put it
It'll be online, so people will be able to watch
like
it.
Like the YouTube.
Yeah, or on our website.
On your website.
Yeah.
But it'll be embedded by putting it in maybe, or maybe Vimeo or something.
I think Vimeo is what we'll
I would
probably
go with
do.
Vimeo because I, you know, I'm.
I prefer
work,
them.
I work with them.
Yeah.
So I guess I should promote Vimeo as.
They're the awesome.
Yeah. And they can give you the tools to actually, if this takes off, you could start to put it. You could put a paywall in and
yes.
charge the shit out of it.
Yes.
And if Louis C.K. is charging
$5 an episode.
No, it's not.
Well, the first one was
the
five.
The first one was five, and I think he was going to do five because he's by bankrolling it out of his pocket. I mean, I know he's wealthy, but he is bankrolling it.
Right.
So $5 seems for if it was a company, a corporation, then I would say, yeah, that's greed. Mm-hmm. But if you are a human being, an individual charging it, then you should charge whatever the price point allows. And apparently it was...
Some police just walked by.
You weren't police.
Adam yelled
no,
at them.
No, there's security.
And now we're on a bunch of watch lists.
Exactly. I was joking. There's a price point, you know,
yes.
whatever it allows. But it was not five, apparently. So he lowered it to two, but the second episode's $3. I know this because I heard him on a talk show. He did Jimmy Fallon or something. Jimmy Kimmel, excuse me. But you guys should do that if things take up because, you know.
I think we might.
You have to make money. I mean,
yeah.
You're making something for people's consumption and entertainment.
I think that's the hope at some point.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you do something, intentionally put it up, make something that you're not charging in any, when movies do it?
Right. I mean, I'm not good at money talk. I don't know.
No. We don't need to go. It's a conceptual thing I'm talking about at the moment.
I think it's really interesting, like figuring out how to monetize, you know,
sponsors.
This stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or somebody you want to get plucked up, maybe, if you're not already. Like
High Maintenance is my favorite.
Oh, sure.
It's the best. I love that show. I really do.
It's a clever.
And
know,
I think their kind of rise, you know, the first season they made all on their own.
Right.
Second season, Vimeo funded.
Right.
Third season is on HBO.
Right. What's next? They're going to. It's going to be shot in the White House or something.
Yeah. But I think that's, that's kind of like one path is like, you know, kind of making it on your own first and then getting picked up by somebody and then somebody else.
Right.
So that could happen with this. Or
of course it could. Just do your best. Do your best. Be as authentic as you can. Right?
We're definitely doing our best. It's fun.
I thought they closed off the hall. Didn't they close off the hall? All these people walking by. It's getting on my nerves. What are you, interactive guys? Nobody talks.
Adam's trying to start fights.
Nobody even makes eye contact.
No one will look at him.
Nobody even makes eye contact. They're all drones, these interactive types.
We're in the convention center.
Yeah, we are. No, I kid. I'm kidding. A pretty woman walked
people
by.
People convene.
Yes, it's true. They convene at the to convent at the center.
Yep.
And they're going to tomorrow at the Distance web series premiere, episode one.
They will convene. One.
As we said, chapter one of that, starring the Ashley Ray Spillers and Alex DeBrinco. And anybody else in the first episode that we may know?
Yeah. Chase, Joliet.
Ashley Barnhill.
Another Ashley?
Yeah. She's an incredible comedian. Mm-hmm. She's from Austin. She's in L.A. now. Yep.
This is not...
Dubek.
Chris Dubek.
Well, I was going to say.
And Cindy Williams has a brief appearance. Do you know Cindy Williams?
I know the
She's
name.
A wonderful Austin. She does lots of theater here.
Oh, okay.
But she also is sprinkled throughout many of the local
films. The only Cindy Williams
films.
I remember is from Laverne and Shirley. I think that was one of them.
Who?
Marshall and Cindy Williams.
Oh,
were Laverne
yeah.
and Shirley. But this is a different Cindy Williams. It's absurd. You guys have worked together before.
Many
you made
times.
A movie. Oh, like as co-stars, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Like the last one I remember was, it was a bit of a mystery genre thing.
Yes.
Arlo and Julie,
which was really great. I thought it was really fun.
Thank you.
And also Chris Dubek has a small role in that, which is...
Great role. Again, mailman.
As the mailman. He's a good character because you guys are always waiting for a letter. Another letter and another letter to come in the mail. Which brings clues. So that's called Arlo and Julie. You can see it now if you go to various digital platforms like, I assume it's on...
iTunes.
The iTunes.
Amazon. Google Play. Oh, I think so.
It's easy to find.
I've never watched anything on Google Play.
Me either.
My dad does a lot.
Like?
Because you can do those surveys for Google and make like $2 a survey.
Oh.
And he's got like $60 in free Google money.
Oh.
He's Google rich, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I went home for this holiday,
yeah.
And he was just like, look at all this Google money I have. But he said it in Russian, because he's a Russian dude.
How would that
dude.
Sound?
He's like, «Посмотри на всю меня, как есть на Google».
That was Google is...
Google stays Google.
Oh, it does stay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they use Google in Russia, do you think?
I think so. As long as they're allowed to.
Yeah.
Like, China doesn't allow it, right?
Probably not.
They have their own Google, China.
Yeah.
Ashley has hung out with my Russian family.
I sure have. Sure. I love them.
I'm sure you must know. Are they here? Or are they? No. I'm sorry. Are they in?
They're in Providence,
Rhode Island.
Oh, they're in Rhode Island. Okay.
Yeah.
Ashley, where are you from originally?
Sugarland, Texas.
I was there yesterday.
I was there yesterday.
You're from Sugarland?
I am.
How come that sounds just so perfect?
I know. Everybody
you're so
says
sweet.
That.
I know.
Where's
that?
It's outside of Houston,
okay.
About half hour southwest of Houston.
South by Southwest?
little south by there.
Did you grow up in Rhode Island? Or
no, I grew up outside of Boston, Sharon, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Very small
Sharon.
Jewish town.
That.
Huh?
Nice. I remember that name very vaguely.
A lot
I
of Jews.
Up there. Yeah?
Yeah, 80% Jewish.
That is a lot.
Cowabunga.
Yeah.
That's a ton.
That's a ton of Jews.
That's a ton of Jews. I grew up only around Jews. The bar mitzvahs every weekend. Sometimes you had to pick which one. Like you
had
too many.
Yeah, because
it was awesome.
Yeah, you could. There were so many that the people couldn't even, out of respect, stagger them because
they just, you had. Yeah,
you had to be 15.
But I think you
waited politely.
The big bummer is like, at 13, I don't think kids can fully take advantage of these amazing parties.
No.
So I think
they literally, in some of these occasions, will order in hookers, but the kids don't even know. They think it's just like they're hired just to dance with them, but they're
right.
They actually will go up to the room upstairs. You know,
is that so? Huh?
Yeah. I don't know.
L'chaim.
I don't have enough religious Jews on that listen in to worry
that's
about
good.
The losing.
That's good. We don't want to alienate.
Yes,
that true.
Well, I'm very polite generally, so I can once in a while. Make fun of people.
Cool.
I do it with nothing but disrespect.
Good.
And so, okay, let's talk about what any other Any other wonderful projects that you guys are currently working on so we can plug them? Or,
well, yeah.
You can always come back on and talk about them. That invitation is out there for you. But
well, we were talking about things Alex and I have done together. Arlo and Julie, of course. And then we actually just finished a few days on a film where we again played. This time we were a married couple. In Los Angeles, we worked on a movie called Inheritance. Mm-hmm. Also with our friend Chase Joliet, who we were just mentioning, has mm-hmm. a little cameo in Distance. Yeah, he's the star of that movie, Inheritance.
You saw Krisha, right?
I can't hear you.
Krisha.
You saw Krisha. So the same
Ash
dude.
Ash isn't in Krisha. But
she's not.
I'm not in Krisha.
That I am. You are.
And Drew Daniels shot Krisha. Drew also shot Distance.
Okay.
And Drew shot this Inheritance movie that we were just on.
Oh, okay. And we should mention
Krisha comes out like
I know, but it will. I don't know that I can edit this in time for that.
Okay.
But I do have an episode, so you know, coming out this week with two segments. One segment is with Krisha and Trey.
Beautiful.
Second segment, Chris Dubeck and Billy Wise.
Wow.
Where was that one recorded? Here.
Here.
Last year.
Wow.
Like I'm doing. With
oh, amazing.
Movies. So in 1 year from now, when you're on your third or fourth season. No, I'll do it soon.
Great.
I'll do it in time for this to. When is there a schedule when this is supposed to
air?
Yeah.
No,
or
I think
stream or
we need to make the season.
I understand.
And then we're gonna release it.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll keep in touch about that.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Really important because I would release it, let's say on the day of the first episode.
Cool.
Because you want people to immediately be able to go.
Yes.
To watch the first episode immediately. You don't want even a lapse. So even if it was the day after, it would still be very helpful. But you don't want to put it up and then they can't watch it. For some reason now, I'm not getting any audio from you guys. There. It's just a piece of garbage. So that's okay.
How about now?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like using these things when I can.
Ashley's also in Vice Principals. You should talk about that.
That's right. The
yes.
Danny...
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. That's another one. You're just
it premiered... Our first two episodes here the other
I
night.
To come. I know you went. Alex went.
Incredible stuff.
I know.
So funny.
I should have gone, but I had.
So funny.
Alex spiked it.
I heard it was really funny. Chris Dubeck said it was funny to me.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you were able to come.
It was awesome. They talked about Ashley up on stage. Walt Goggins said Ashley Spillers is an amazing actress.
Oh, I know him. He's in the new Tarantino.
Hateful Eight. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him in that.
But he's incredible in Vice Principals.
Well, I mean, everybody's so good in it. It's great.
It's really something beautiful.
We shot two seasons back to back.
Uh-huh. I'm listening.
And it'll be officially premiering on HBO in July.
Are you a regular then? Or?
I show up in the fourth episode of the first season.
Okay.
And then I remain throughout the rest of the first season and then into the second season. I'm there.
And who else? I'm sorry. Who else is in this now? Danny McBride.
So it's Danny McBride, Walton Goggins, Phillips is there.
Who?
Shea Whigham. Busy Phillips. She's she was
sounds
in
like
Cougar Town. She was also in Freaks and Geeks. She's the blonde. Yeah. She was in. I think she was in Dawson's Creek for a minute.
Okay. I wasn't around then. I was.
She's cool.
Too young. No, but I do remember Freaks and Geeks.
I have a crush on her.
Yeah, a lot of folks do. We have some cool cameos, but I won't ruin them.
I gotta get
Dale Dickey shows up later.
She still looks incredible.
Yeah, she's a babe.
Hold out.
That busy
but
is
remember,
a babe.
I remember that her when she was a kid too, when she shot Freaks and Geeks. You know. Sounds like a really. I heard it was really funny, and I can't wait to
it's
see it.
It's funny and
a big
naughty.
Fan of Eastbound and Down. So,
yeah,
you know. Yeah.
So yeah, that's coming out. That's really exciting. I have a little spot in a movie called. It was called Arms and the Dudes. It's Todd Phillips' new movie. It's now called War Dogs with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller.
Oh, interesting cast.
Yeah, it's based on a true story.
Todd Phillips. Remind me what he.
The Hangover.
Never heard of that one. So maybe this one will be successful.
Yeah, hopefully.
Poor kid.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so.
And Alex, are you working on any projects? This is a lot already, but
he's really distance is like he's really.
You're really the force driving creative force behind this.
Yeah, so that's been kind of the thing that I focus
that's
on.
Terrific. And you should. I mean, I think it's hard when you're. I mean, you can't produce. You're kind of producing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the showrunner or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, and writer.
Got it.
Right. So you got to, yeah, you have to focus on this.
But we have a big team. We have a team of like 10 writers now on the and a bunch of producers. It's just the whole, it's like, you know, running a little like company or
how
whatever.
How did you finance this?
Huh?
How are you financing this?
We self-financed the first chapter, but right. Now we need money. So that's what we're kind of here for. And, right. And we have a lot of cool meetings set up and a lot of people interested. That's the great thing about South by, too, is it helps with that. So.
All right. Well, we will have this episode ready to go for
awesome.
When Distance makes its
thank you.
Big premiere on
beautiful.
Online. And thank you guys for
thank
coming
you.
On. Finally, it was a delight.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please do, again, go to iTunes and find our page and subscribe if you haven't already done that. And also leave a star rating and a nice comment. I ask this every show. It's just what I do because there are very few of you who are listening. And chances are you have not, if you're listening, have not done this for me. And I'm asking you to spend just a couple of minutes to pause right now, go to iTunes, take a minute, and just click on a star that you think applies and write a little note about the podcast, your thoughts about it. It just even if it's a few words. You know, I actually read these things. And, of course, as you know, that if enough of you were to get on there, if hundreds of you, if all my listeners, if half my listeners went on there and simply did that, I guarantee my show would really rise far up the pyramid of podcasts and new people would discover it. And that, you know, that's the life force, the blood of the lifeblood of a podcast is, you know, getting new listeners all the time and expanding the audience. And I'd appreciate it. Okay. Anyway, that's it. So again, I'm going to just plug the screening of this film coming up this weekend on Saturday and Sunday at MoMA. If you're in New York, I think there might be some tickets left. There's not many, but I understand there are. I will be at both screenings, so come and visit me. Say hello. All right, guys. Okay, that's Lynn Sachs's film, Tip of My Tongue, part of Doc Fortnite, closing night film on Saturday at 7:30 and on Sunday at 5 o'clock, both at Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan. Okay, guys. Thanks. Remember to take care of yourself and the ones you love.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs.